Welcome to the Horror Writers Podcast. Join Jay Thorne and Richard Brown as they discuss writing and publishing horror using strategies that work for all genres.
Hey, everybody. This is the Horror Writers Podcast, episode number 14. My name is Jay Thorne. I'm here with co-host Mr. Richard Brown. Say hello, Richard.
Hello, Richard.
Love that joke. It never gets old.
And Joe started it.
Yeah, it's all Joe's fault. Let's just blame it all on Joe.
Okay. I got my sunglasses on today, so...
Yeah, I was trying to get Richard to sing for everybody. There's several great classic songs. He would sound fantastic.
Oh, you got the ZZ Top one, too.
Yeah, the cheap ones, right?
Yeah. I don't think I know all the lyrics to that one. I'll have to look them up during the show.
Yeah, but he's vowed he's not going to sing. And he's also said, you all can stick it. He's never taken the glasses off. He doesn't care what you think about it. He's wearing them. That's what he
said. I'll take them off when you cut your hair. Probably never.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So I think Ken I think Ken on the YouTube was saying we should run some type of contest where we hit a certain plateau and then you remove your glasses. The problem is we don't.
Yeah, we care really more about the way we look than we do about validation.
Yeah, we don't really care about the reviews.
We got one review on iTunes, and I'd rather keep my sunglasses on.
Yeah, I think I'll keep my hair too. Sorry.
I mean, it just looks cool. We got to look cool, right? You got the cool jacket on today, too.
Yeah, I just came from the ice rink, so my body temp is still a little low. So yeah.
I like how it looks fitted.
Does it?
Yeah.
Because it came right off the rack. But hey, if it looks fitted, I'll go with that. What's new, Screwball? What's up in your world?
Well, speaking of Joe Hart, I got his book in the mail. Came a couple days ago. You got it, too?
Yeah. Did you get a little note in it?
A little note?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A little blue note. What does yours say? Let's see if they say the same thing.
Mine says, Jay, thanks again for having me on the podcast. Please don't tell Richard, but I really like you better, and I hope you go solo. Sincerely, Joe.
Yeah, that's the same thing mine says. Yeah.
Wait, really? Is that what yours says?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get a sign? Did he sign yours?
Yes.
It was weird. He signed mine with your name. So I'm like, that's a little strange, but you know, whatever.
So you won't be seeing that on eBay anytime soon, right, Richard? You're not going to put that book on eBay.
If it had his name, but if with your name, nobody's going to want that. You know, I mean, you probably don't get a lot of people wanting signed copies of your books, right?
No, I don't. You hear that, Joe? You hear what he's doing there? You hear that? I hope Joe's watching right now.
What am I doing?
You're totally insulting him.
How am I insulting him?
You're saying he messed up the name and wrote the wrong name in the book.
No, Joe's like, he's like one of my best friends now.
Yeah.
Now that he's That's a bestseller, cool. You know.
Best friend, bestseller.
What is the old saying? You know, you hang out with four junkies, you know, you would just be the fifth or something. If you hang out with four successful people, you'd be the fifth.
There you go.
So I'm trying to hang out.
Yeah, no, I think that was really cool, Joe, for sending it. In all seriousness, thanks, Joe, for sending that. And I
went to your PO box.
Right, yeah, and as soon as I finish this, I'm going to get into The River is Dark by Mr. Joe Hart. So
I have the same plan, you know, when I finish this. And I haven't even started yet because I'm not, I guess it's not a slow reader like you are, but have you finished already? You have, haven't you?
I have.
You're a dirtbag. You started way too early. I hope you took a lot of notes.
Well, I did, and I couldn't stop, and I'm not going to get into it. There's many reasons couldn't stop. But
I don't want you to get into it.
Yeah, it was quite an experience, and I may skim through it again before we do the show, just because.
Do some of the really interesting parts.
There were there were even certain words and sentences I wrote down that I want to talk about on the show. It's crazy. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to go back and read some other old Stephen King stuff. Like, I don't know if it would be the same experience because that book was pretty unique for me, but that's the first time I've read that in a long time. And it was just very different. Not what I expected.
All right.
So what is new with you besides the book? Anything else going on besides the mailman bringing you a gift?
Mailman. Oh yeah. Well, I saw that there's did you see there's another Ebola person? Did you see that? It's like a third person now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And apparently they just came from Cleveland, so.
Yeah.
You know, how are you feeling? Are you feeling okay?
Are you afraid you're going to catch it from me?
I could catch it through you, like through the headphones or something.
Just don't put your lips on the microphone.
Oh, well, what do I look like, David Lee Roth?
No, not with the sunglasses, you don't.
That's true. He's not as cool as me, but I mean, I could move this down and then lick the microphone, but
yeah,
I got this cool pop filter here, so.
No, that's not really the kind of news I was thinking of. Last week I had a cup of coffee with Jim Kukral, and I think we're going to be having him on the show maybe sometime next month. But he's got some really big plans for Author Marketing Club, and he was kind of giving me a little hint at what's coming, and it's pretty cool stuff. And he's an ambitious guy, and it's really cool to just kind of sit and pick his brain a little bit because he's definitely, you know, he wants to be on top. He wants to be that. He wants to be the book marketing guy, and I really admire that kind of ambition. So I'm excited to have him on the show next month.
Is he going to have another Author Marketing Live, but down here in Texas?
Well, he's got. I mean, I don't want to spill the beans or say anything prematurely, but he's got several events, kind of in the works, and some of them are live and some of them are virtual. And but you know, he's not sitting around, like, he's not being complacent. He's definitely pushing it and trying to be the best in his, you know, be the top name in his sort of area. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, if we ever met up at a conference or something, we'd have to do a live podcast.
Like, you know what we could do is, like, we could set it up like a boxing match, you know, when they have the press conference ahead of time and the two guys have to sit next to each other right before they're going to beat the crap out of each other.
Well, we're so successful that we could probably just, you know, be like, have the podcast be like on stage and people just be in the audience, like watching our podcast.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like a late night talk show. We'll just sit at the desk.
Yeah. I mean, we're headed there. It's just a matter of time.
Well, we broke double digit subscribers already. So yeah, we're definitely,
we broke that like a month ago, yeah.
I know.
I mean, we're
exactly.
We're just going places, dude. I mean, we got like 500 views. It's just insane.
We're going for like dozens of subscribers.
Yeah, we still got that one review on iTunes, but
that one lonely review.
I think it's a 4-star. So,
so much for our pleas for validation. Like, no one's listening.
Nobody cares.
No one cares.
I think they're doing it on purpose. They just want us to keep talking about it, and they figure we're gonna go crazy if we don't. We, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
You got any special plans for Halloween?
No, nothing out of the ordinary. How about you?
Well, you got kids, right? So you just probably,
yeah. So
the usual kid thing.
Yeah, it's fun. Take them around the neighborhood, and my son.
Oh, you're old school.
You actually
take them around the neighborhood.
Oh yeah, yeah. I live in an old neighborhood with nice sidewalks and
barred windows.
Barred windows, yeah.
Yeah.
But my son's getting to that age where he's probably not going to be doing it for too many more years. So it's kind of, you know.
Cool. Yeah, I think this weekend we're going to be going to there's this haunted house. There's really, this whole area sucks, but there's actually this haunted house around here. We went last year and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It was surprising. Like, I was going there. It was like, it's like this place that does paintball, and around Halloween they always like revert it to like a haunted house thing, and it was like packed, and it was probably one of the best haunted houses I've been to, and I've been to like the, you know, the Busch Gardens thing and the Halloween Horror Nights at like Universal Studios, and
right,
and it was like a really pretty awesome haunted house, and they also have this thing where that you get on like the back of this truck, and they have all these paintball guns since they're a paintball place. and they have all these paintball guns there for you, and it's like you line up kind of in a row, and then the truck drives you around in these fields back there, and these people come out and they're like, look like zombies.
Yeah.
And you shoot them. And I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, we got a zombie paintball place out here too, and we're going to maybe this weekend. We might do it. So I'll have to get some video maybe and post it on Facebook or something. But it's the same concept. You like shoot people dressed as zombies.
Yeah, it was awesome last year. So I'm totally doing that again. The only problem was it was really cold when we were doing it, when we were out there, but it was worth it.
Nice. Well, should we get into the topic for today?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, we were talking about talking a little bit about Kindle Unlimited, KDP Select, selling on different platforms.
Wait a minute, I thought the topic was going to be Dinosaur Erotica.
No, I already covered that.
Oh, yeah, you did cover that.
Yeah, that's where we got the reviews on iTunes, you know?
That was from the one, okay, never mind. The one reviewer, he really liked that show, I think.
Yeah, I think he was a Tyrannosaurus Sex, maybe.
Oh, that was a good one. Yo, where's my Google effects here? Hold on.
Yeah, come on.
I don't have it up, damn it.
I tell like one good joke every fifth episode, and you totally missed it.
Well, who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky and you'll get another one today.
Yeah, probably not.
You don't think so? No. It was really late, but...
Yeah, that was kind of lame.
I'm sorry. Well, okay, you go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, after that stumbling intro to the topic of the day, I thought it might be a good idea for each of us, before we start talking about this, to kind of set the context. I think it's hard to talk about the benefits of exclusivity on Amazon versus other platforms if you've had limited experience in it. But I think it's safe to say we've both sort of been in and out of different platforms and retailers a number of times, and I thought it might be helpful. We just kind of briefly explained our evolution to where we are now, and so that when we talk about these different options, it'll make some sense. Does it sound like a good place to start?
We are both very experienced men, so I think, you know, a little backstory couldn't hurt.
Well, in this industry, you know, if you've been in it for 3 years, they're like dog years almost, you know, the way things have changed.
We're so. Pros, aren't we? We're pros now. I mean, a lot of these people, you know, they're just new, but now we got all the best advice, and we get podcast is just going places.
We have a review. On
we're authority. We're authorities.
We have a review, so don't mess with us.
So how do you, when did the Select program begin? Was it 2012 or 11?
I think it was 11.
It was like late, it was like December 11, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did you go in right away?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wrote some things down. You want me just to go through it?
Yeah.
Or do you want to interrupt with stupid jokes?
I'm sure I'll interrupt, but.
All right.
That's what the audience wants. I mean, I got to give them what they want.
That and sunglasses and ponytails is clearly what they're calling for.
And the paper joke. We're going to ever see it again. I mean, it's been like a few episodes.
But. People got to ask for it, man. I'm not just going to hand that out like candy. Come on. All right. So I started on in Select in, I don't know, 2011, 2012. And I wrote this down because I was never going to remember it. So... everything up until March of 2013, I had in Select. Right now, I've got eight novel-sized titles and two box sets of boxing three of those each. I've got a total of five titles in Select. I've got three titles that are everywhere and via Smashwords. So Kobo. I go to Kobo and BNN directly, but everywhere else, including iTunes, I go via Smashwords. And out of those three, one of those titles are perma-free. And that's was price matched by Amazon. I've got four short stories that are everywhere via Smashwords. And I've tried to get Amazon to price match them to free, but they won't. And I've got two other titles that are also everywhere. And so in March of 2013, I started moving titles out of Select into Smashwords, and then Barnes & Noble and Kobo directly. And then in 2014, I pulled about half of those back into Select. And as of today, for the calendar year 2014, on Barnes & Noble, I've sold a total of 30 books. I've sold 3 on Smashwords and 2 on Kobo. So that's my backstory, which I kind of tipped hand as
can
to...
Can you repeat all that? I wasn't listening.
So I kind of just tipped my hand on where I'm going with this, clearly.
So you're saying you sold 30 books on, was it Barnes & Noble for the whole year?
Yes.
Total, all of all your books?
Total.
And you've had all of them in Select, I mean, out of Select the entire year? So 2014?
Not all of them. No, the Barnes & Noble, that would be 4 titles.
Are they all
Barnes & Noble.
What are they, sequels, or are they...
One is a standalone, and there's a book 2 and a book 3, and the first title is free on Barnes & Noble. It's the perma-free title.
And how many sales do you get of the perma-free over there, do you know?
That's shown through Smashwords, so I haven't dug into, like...
You know they give you a daily sales thing now.
Yeah, they do, and they break it down by retailer, and it's a little bit delayed, but... That perma-free book that went perma-free in July or August on Smashwords has only been downloaded a couple hundred times. It's not like even in the thousands.
Is that the first Portal Arcane?
Yeah. Okay. So that's kind of where I am. And, you know, my Amazon sales are significantly higher than those other platforms.
So what percentage of your sales are just Amazon? Probably like
98%.
Wow. You're even more dug in than I am.
Yeah, I have virtually no sales presence anywhere else. The only little asterisk I'll put on that, and I think we talked about this off air, is I had the first in free promo picked up by Kobo, and they put Portal Arcane 1 on the promo page. And then I had about 150 downloads of that in about 4 days, but that only led to 2 sales, one of book 2 and one of book 3 on Kobo, so it didn't go very far.
So the sell through rate is just pitiful.
Not good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I
How
started.
About you?
Well, I don't have nearly as many books as you do, but. I mean, I was a little late getting into the Select thing because I think I wanted to let a couple months go by when it first started just to see what it was like. And that was probably a mistake because, you know, those first couple months, if you made your book free and then once it went back to paid, it, the free sales counted as paid sales. So it,
one
like,
to one. Yeah.
Yeah. So it made your ranking just like shoot up.
Yeah.
Which gave you so much visibility. So you get all these paid sales after you went free. And I think that only lasted for about 3 or 4 months, and then Amazon changed the algorithms, and I got in, I think, February or March, but it was kind of tail end at that point.
Yeah.
So I got a little bit off of it, and then it just seemed to kind of, once they did that, it really kind of took it out from me. Like, I wasn't as interested in staying exclusive. So Kobo, I think, came around in 2012. Summer of 2012. So everybody was kind of big on them at the time. So I think that was around the time when I decided to get out of Select. And I pretty much have been out since then. Like, for a couple of years, I haven't been in. And one of the reasons is my main series, Dead Highways, is the first book's perma-free. So in order to keep it perma-free, I have to have it everywhere.
Right.
Or at least one place, at least Apple or Barnes & Noble or someplace, so Amazon will price match. And then if I have it, it seems kind of, well, here I'm going to have this free book somewhere and people are going to download it, but then they're not going to be able to download the second one. So that's why I've always kept the other books in the second book in the Dead Highway series available everywhere, because I didn't think it mattered so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, plus with a series like that, I feel like if people really want it, they're going to buy it anyway. Like, if they really like the first book, kind of doesn't matter, you know. It's like,
right,
the product description doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what cover you put on the second book. They're going to, yes, buy it because they like the first one.
Yeah, I totally agree, and it's the same reason why I don't even bother like asking for reviews on books 2 and 3, because
yeah, I don't either, because it doesn't really matter. If people like the first one, then they'll go buy the second one probably.
Yes, agreed.
And I'm a little nervous about putting the second one in selection, not only because I may be losing a few sales elsewhere, but because then who knows, maybe a lot of the people who would have paid the $3.99 will just borrow it, and I'll actually only get, what is it, $1.50 now.
Yeah.
You know, because that's one thing, is the Kindle borrowing, the rate has gone down since Kindle Unlimited came around. It used to be like pretty much $2, you know, per sale.
Yeah, I think it was 2.25 when it first came out of the gate, wasn't it?
It was over two, something like that.
Yeah.
And then it stuck around 2 for a while, and now it's like $1.50 or something. I think it was actually going to be less, but they actually added a bunch of, like, a couple million to the fund.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be like $1 or something.
Yeah.
And if it gets to that, well, then it becomes, well, is it worth it anymore? But right now, I mean, I'm thinking, I don't want to pull Dead Highways out, but I moved my other book, Titanic with Zombies, out because it really wasn't selling anything at those other places.
Right.
And it has started to sell better now that it's in select. Because I figured I'd try the Kindle Unlimited thing and see what that does. I don't get a lot of sales on that book. It's just, it sells well if I do promotions, but then it always just kind of tails back to a few a day or something. And it's just, I think that's just what it's going to do. It's just never going to be better than that. And I'm okay with that. But it was virtually selling hardly anything at these other places. So since I've moved it back into select, it, you know, I'm getting probably equal borrows to sales. Yes. So it's kind of doubled. You know, what I was getting before was maybe 50 sales a month. Now I'm getting like almost 100 just because of the borrows.
Yeah.
And whereas go ahead.
Yeah. No, and I was going to say, I think you're probably getting more because aren't the borrows getting some sort of little lift in the algorithm too, as opposed to sales? I don't know if I've confirmed that.
I don't know if it's confirmed either, but that's what it seems like. Mm-hmm. Like from what I've been able to, I track my sales every day, and from what I can tell, the days when I get more borrows, my rank always goes up. And I track my rank every day, too. And it seems like it goes up higher when you have borrows rather than sales. And I think that's just a way of trying to influence people to stay in select. And they also came out with this, you probably saw the All-Stars program.
Yes.
Where if for all the people who are like the top 100 authors, all get like, for the month, all get a bonus. And then, like, the top 100 books, I think, also get bonuses.
Right.
And, I mean, I think there's one that's, like, 25,000 if you're, like, the top 10 or something.
Yeah, titles. It's not something I'm going to see anytime soon. But
no.
So I haven't even looked at it. But, yeah, it's like, tens of thousands of dollars.
I don't expect to even be in there. But I'm sure they're doing it as a way to maybe lure some of these the bigger self-published authors to just come to select only, because those guys, I mean, if you could make an extra $20,000 or $30,000 a month, I mean, you'd be crazy. I can't imagine them making that elsewhere,
right?
Which, at least with the way my sales have been, and it's kind of, I mean, I don't know. People always, you know, say you got to be everywhere, and you got to have your, you don't want to have your eggs all in one basket and all that crap, but I think you've said it before. If there's nobody buying from that basket, then it's like, you know, what difference does it make, right?
Well, I think that's what makes this really both an interesting and hard decision for authors, because it's so individualized. If I had robust sales on Barnes & Noble and Kobo, then you all right there?
Yeah, smack the crap out of my microphone.
Thing reached up and smacked you in his jaw. You know, if I had really robust sales on other platforms, that would be a really hard decision. But when I'm selling, you know, two books on Kobo, I don't have to think very hard about going back into select. I mean, I'll get 10 times that in borrows in one day on Amazon, and those are people I know are reading my book. So, do I need to be on Kobo, and what kind of readership am I getting on Kobo if I'm losing 20 a day on Amazon? Like, that doesn't seem to make sense. But if you were selling a ton on these other platforms, that would be a really hard decision to pull and take that money off the table and go to Amazon.
No, I've read about a few authors that actually do sell better Barnes & Noble and Apple and stuff than they do at Amazon, which is, a little weird to me. I mean, I would always think that most people would sell better at the place with the most readers, but for whatever reason, you know, they sell better at those other places. So yeah, I totally agree. If I was selling really well at these other places, it wouldn't even be a question. I would stay there.
Yeah.
But it's not like I know a lot of authors, though, they started in Select and then they pull out of there. Oh, I'm going to try to go everywhere. So they go out and then they spend like a month in Kobo and Barnes & Noble and stuff, and they don't get many sales, so they just go right back into Select.
Yeah.
And that's not me, right? Yeah. I was out of Select for almost 2 years. And so I've had plenty of time to try to establish an audience elsewhere. And right. Like you, I sell maybe 2 books a month on Kobo, and I've been there for 2 years. I've done 3 or 4 different BookBub ads. There was one, I did Titanic with Zombies a year ago on BookBub for 99 cents. I sold like 800 copies on Amazon, and I sold 3 on Kobo.
3?
3 from a BookBub ad.
From a BookBub ad?
Yeah.
That's insane.
And I was just amazed because I thought that wow, if any, you know, anything BookBub should be able to push. And I got decent sales on Barnes & Noble. And I think Apple is picking up a little bit from what I can tell. But man, Kobo, I don't know. I like the way they have it all set up. They have one of the nicest, yeah. They have one of the nicest systems to, you know, input your book and stuff. But that doesn't mean anything if there's never any sales.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. And you're right. I've had email exchanges with people at Kobo, and I know they're like real people, and they get it, and they fix stuff fast, and their customer service is excellent, and their interface is beautiful. But yeah, I sold 2 books there, so it's hard to justify sticking around.
It seems like a little bit of a philosophy problem too with the way they're going about it. And this is what really annoys me. People get upset with Amazon because Amazon's like somehow forcing us, you know, to go exclusive or something. And they're giving it, it's only for 90 days. So it's not like you're signing a traditional deal or something where, you know, where some publisher is going to take your rights forever or whatever. It's a 90 day thing. So, but they're giving us these options. You know, they have the free days, they have the countdown, they have now the borrows and all that stuff. So they're at least giving us ways to sell books beyond the fact that just the way their system is set up helps sell books, right? Yeah. They have a system already designed to recommend books really well and to sell books. And then they give us these other things on top of that. And the only reason they can get away with doing the exclusivity thing is because they're doing so well, because so many readers are going there. You know, they wouldn't be, if it was like Kobo had 25% of the market and Barnes & Noble had 25% of the market and Apple had 20, you know, then they wouldn't be able to do that because it wouldn't be ever be worth doing, you know, going exclusive. The only reason it's worth it is because they have most of the market.
Yes.
To begin with. So,
which is the reason why they don't have to do it too. Like Amazon doesn't have to offer any kind of
bonus,
additional. Yeah. I mean, because they have the market share. So I think that, you know, that's good from their standpoint, that even though they own the majority of the market share, they're still putting out these little tools that authors can use that are not on other platforms.
I mean, there's a lot of fear like people have that, you know, me having my books everywhere is going to stop Amazon from taking over. It's like, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
We're authors, and if we want to sell books and make a living at this, we got to be where the readers are. And if the readers have decided they like Amazon, then that's where I'm going to be.
Yes.
I mean, I can't help it. I don't buy this crap that they're going to all of a sudden, you know, reduce the royalty to 10% because they'd just be killing the golden goose.
Yeah.
I mean, how stupid would that be? Because there's a lot of, I mean, I could see them reducing it a little bit, but at the same time, let's say they did reduce it to 10% or something stupid. You know, a lot of us authors, we wouldn't be able to make a living doing this then. Mm-hmm. So we would all have to go get some other job, and that means we're going to produce less work. Right, so they're going to have even less books, so it doesn't work out to screw us over, right?
Right.
There has to be some balance there, and also I think that if I'll tell you what I would do if they did that, I would write a bunch of books in a series. I would put all the first books on there for free, and then I would have a link at the back of that first book going to my website to buy the next ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I would basically be using them as a way to get readers into the series as a free book. And then I would say, hey, here's the link to buy the next book. Instead of it going to an Amazon page, it would go to my website, and I would have a big note at the beginning telling them why they're having to buy the book from me and not from Amazon. It's because Amazon wants to give me 10%.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, I think most of us would do that at that point. So they'd just be screwing themselves, and I don't think they're that stupid. So,
no.
So beyond that, like I was talking about, like Kobo, I mean, they have this philosophy that it's better to try to sell a $10 book than it is to sell a $3 book. And I just don't get that. Like you're just training you're trying to train your readers to think they should just buy $10 books. I mean, you realize what your competition is doing. Like, you need to get more people to buy Kobo readers, and you're just saying, hey, all of our books are $10. I mean, that's to me, like, basically what they're saying.
Yeah, we're only going to put what's happening.
We're like, they have a merchandiser kind of system where they select books to put on their main page, and they want to select books that are more expensive because they make more money off of them. And it's like, you know how much money Amazon's making because we have these perma-free books up and everybody's buying the second and third and fourth one in the series? Like, they're just, and the free first and series thing you talked about, I'm in that too. And I get like two a day maybe.
Yeah.
And they have it, they don't even have it listed where anybody can find it. If there's any place where you actually can go on their main page to find the books that are free, I don't know where it's at.
Yeah, I couldn't find it. And I was in the promotion and I couldn't find it.
And I think they want to hide it. It's like they came up with this to help us, but at the same time, they want to hide it because they're afraid people are just going to buy free books. And they just don't understand that people will buy that first free book, and then they'll go buy the other three or four books in the series.
Yes.
And it's just, this is what annoys me about these other people, these other places, is that Amazon's doing everything right. They're showing you how to do it, and they're just ignoring the proper way to do things, and they're just... If I'm going to go exclusive with Amazon, it's simply because you guys aren't trying very hard.
Yeah. So if you were listening to this podcast and you're getting ready to publish your first book right now, would you go KDP Select with that first and only book?
Oh, absolutely. Easy. I'm almost thinking at this point, I don't even know if I'll, unless the other ones really start to change, I don't even know if I'll put another book in there other than the series that I already have. And it seems like the last year, most authors have just been going select, and it's actually worked so much better for them to do that. Yeah. I don't really think they're losing much by not being in it. And as a first author, especially, you know, just you may as well take that 90 days at least to see how things go and try all the countdown and all those things to give your book as much exposure right out of the gate. You can put your book up on Amazon, and it can, I mean, hell, if you wrote like an Ebola book or something, you know, Bobby Adair. You know Bobby, right? He wrote a book, an Ebola book, and he's just like killing it right now.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you can actually put your book right up on Amazon, and it can start selling without you doing anything, right? Yeah. It doesn't mean it's guaranteed to happen, but it can happen. You put your book on Barnes & Noble, and it's just going to sit there.
Yeah.
Now, they don't have a system for selling books. I think they're so concerned with their brick-and-mortar stores, they don't get it. Like, they're going to put all their money into trying to save their stupid brick and mortar business that they're going to end up going out of business.
Well, and they've really pulled back on all of the R&D around the Nook. I mean, even the device, they've pretty much given up on that. So that's a pretty strong indicator right there.
I mean, my sales are, I can tell they're down. My sales have been decent at Barnes & Noble in the past through my perma-free. But I can tell they're going down. It's getting harder to sell books over there. I think most of the people who bought Nooks when they're looking to buy a new one, they're not going to buy a Nook.
Right.
They'll probably buy a Kindle or something else, you know, but it definitely won't be a Nook. And I mean, when we talk about Nook, I mean, forget if you have a problem or something and you email them. I mean, you're lucky if they even email you back. But if they do, it's probably going to be 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, that's how their customer service is.
Yeah.
It's just awful. And it just shows you they don't care. You know, right. I mean, two or three times a month, their sales thing goes out for days at a time where it's not updated. Oh, we're sorry. We had a problem again. You can just tell there's probably one guy over there doing the whole operation because, you know, they're just whatever.
He's
they're
probably
trying
sitting
to
there
say,
in a hat and sunglasses,
probably a professional, And to be professional, you got to have a hat and sunglasses. But I feel sorry for that guy because, you know, they're probably not giving him any support. They never figured this out. They're doing the whole Blockbuster thing, right? Where they're so concerned with saving their stupid stores that they let Netflix and Redbox and all these people come and kill them at the digital thing and whatnot. And they're just going to be left, you know, wondering what happened.
And this isn't minor, but it's something that I didn't really think about until I was in the thick of it. And there is a cost in not only money but in time to get your stuff on other platforms. You have to either have it reformatted or you have to convert it yourself. The cover requirements are different for Barnes & Noble than they are for Amazon. You got to do an EPUB validation check, and if that doesn't pass on Kobo, then they won't publish your book. And on Smashwords, you have to put a special Smashwords edition notice in the front.
They finally did, yeah, where you don't have to do it anymore. It's been, I guess, enough people. Maybe it took millions of people complaining, but they finally decided that it's stupid.
And that's even before you get to their meat grinder, which is notorious for spitting out error codes and people having no idea of how to fix stuff. My point is that to take one title and put it anywhere but Amazon is a big investment in money and time. And if you have only one book, maybe it's not a big deal. But if you have 3 or 4 or 5 or 10, that's a lot of stuff to manage. And so just getting there is going to cost you a lot of time and money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but I like to make little updates to my books every now and then and change up the formatting sometimes. And you get a new book out, you got to go update the old ones and you put all the new links in. Because I like to keep it, every book I have, it shows what other books I have.
Right.
With links to where you can go buy those. And so if you come out with a new book or something, you got to go update all your old books. And
yes.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point of uploading the book on Kobo if I'm not selling anything anyway? Like, nobody's reading it, so who cares, right?
Right. And I do my own formatting, but if I wasn't doing my own formatting, every time I had one of those changes, I'd have to contact my formatter and say, hey, can you update this? And, oh, by the way, can you update the Smashwords DOC? And can you update the EPUB file? And, like, every single time for every book. And again, if you're selling a ton of books on those platforms, maybe it's worth it. But if you're doing it just so that you're there and so you have a presence somewhere other than Amazon, I don't see the point in that.
No, it's not working. It's not gonna just because if I have a book on all these other places and it's not selling anyway, it's not like that's hurting Amazon.
Right.
Like, the only person that's hurting is me.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like Amazon is somehow hurting because I'm not in Select, and therefore, since my book's everywhere else, it's somehow helping out the other places. It's not, because no one's reading it anyway.
Right.
Right. So the only person's really hurt is me, because I'm making less money, because I could actually be gaining more readers by being in Select, because there will be people who will only borrow your book, and the borrow might not be as much as a sale, but it still counts, and it helps get your rank up, which helps give you more visibility.
Yeah. Well, you touched upon this earlier, and I think it's worth mentioning. There's, one of the options we have now and we're going to have, and I do believe this is the future, is selling direct. The problem with that right now...
How much did Jim Cuckrell pay you to say that?
Well, let me finish.
You going to hold up his book? Yeah.
No. The problem with that now, and I've said this to Jim, the problem with that now is there's a customer service aspect to it that could be a super drain on you. And... like I think of my mom, like if I had to explain to my mom how to sideload a book, I'd rather just buy her a new Kindle and like buy the book on Amazon for her. Like the process of getting a Mobi or an EPUB to someone's device through a backdoor or sideloading it, like I don't want that hassle. And right now it's so easy and convenient by design. If you have a goal to buy a book for Kindle, and so I think going direct is definitely something I'm ready to do, and I'm going to be looking at that. But right now, like, I'm just thinking of all the headaches I would have to endure if I tried selling most of my stuff directly to consumers.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I would do it if it got to a point, like I said, where we're really getting screwed on the royalties and stuff. Because at that point, if I can even get half of those people or whatever to maybe go give me a shot and buy it for my site, it's still better than the 10% I was going to get off of Amazon. So, but right now, I don't see a huge reason to do it. I feel like I could, when my third Dead Highways book comes out, I could put it up there on my website and just sell it directly from my website. And I'm sure I could get my mailing list and a lot of those people to go download it. But then what,
Yeah.
Then it just disappears, Then, and I don't get that extra visibility that I would get on Amazon, where you got a new release and it gets on the hot new releases and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So other people go, oh, what is this book?
Yeah.
Yeah. People who never heard of it before now see this book and they're like, oh, it's the third book. I'll go check out the first one. Oh, it's free. That's great. You know, yeah. And then they're excited about it. Whereas if I just go direct, well, then I'm only counting on the people that already know me. And right. There's not a lot of people who know me. I mean, there's you, my mom, my wife. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I was going to say wife is possibly, yeah. But yeah,
even
two or three
she
people.
Doesn't know me that well.
Right. I mean, she's never there because she doesn't want to be around you. So it's
right, exactly.
It's tough. So let's let's talk for a minute about Select. And if you could sit down with
what
with
have we
Jeff
been talking
B.
about?
Well, no, here, if you could sit down with Jeff B. and say, I'm in Select, but here's a way you can make it even better. What would you want to see in Select that isn't currently there that would be better, make it better?
Besides it not being exclusive?
No, well, that could be one thing. I mean, what about the terms of, like, terms? 30-day exclusivity, would that?
No, I mean, of course, that would be better, you know. And I kind of hate the idea that we can't sell, at least directly. Mm-hmm. And I can kind of understand how they don't want us, you know, being on other retailers and stuff, but...
Yeah,
but it's annoying that we can't sell our own stuff. So I wish there was some like backdoor way to do that, but I don't want to get caught and like kicked off, you know.
Well, there's two things that I would love to see, and I don't know if this will ever happen. The first one is I'd love to be able to get my customers' data. I'd love to know who's buying my books.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
But the second one, which I think would be really cool, would be for them to get rid of the 5-day. Free limitation. I mean, what would be the downside of if you're in Select, you can make your book perma-free?
Yeah, well, it would be that's the thing too. Is I got to keep that book everywhere else because it needs to be perma-free.
Right.
And
right.
If they allowed me to just make it perma-free all the time, I might be far more inclined to take it out then.
Right.
And put it just on them. I don't see why it matters. I mean, they know why people do it. I mean, they're not that stupid. They know that you make it perma-free because, you know, it's a series. It's really stupid. And if any author is planning on making their book free where you just have one book or something, I wouldn't recommend that. That's a terrible idea.
Right.
Because for one thing, the 5-day thing doesn't work anymore. So you're just going to give away a bunch of books and you're not going to get any sales probably as a result of it. And making it perma-free, I mean, unless it is the first in a series and you're writing the second one, you're going to have it out in a few months or something, then maybe, it doesn't matter. But otherwise I wouldn't do that. But I agree with you. I think they know why everybody does it. And I don't know, the 5-day thing is just worn out its welcome at this point.
Well, I took all 5 days when I put Preda's Realm back in Select and I built a full free ad campaign around BookBub. I got a BookBub free ad for that book. And I think over the 5 days, I want to say, probably close to 20,000. I have to go back and check the numbers, but I got a lot of downloads on it, and the tail was so short on that, and I got very few reviews on it. I think it's now like the free book is just so devalued as a special versus perma free. That like it used to be, if you got a free BookBub, you got a BookBub ad for a free book, you could see sales for weeks afterwards. And a ton
regular
of reviews.
Paid sales.
So, yeah, like when it came back over to paid, and I just don't even see that anymore.
No, yeah, it's pretty much gone. Like you're not going to get that. That's why the 5 free days thing is kind of totally useless.
Yeah.
Like if you're gonna go free and it's a first book or something, just make it perma free.
Right. And then it's a slow burn though. It's not a big spike like a BookBub. If you go perma free, the first couple days your book's on perma free, you're going to get a nice big spike, and then after that, it's just gonna.
Which I've often wondered, because I did this a few times, I experimented, and I would have it on perma-free, and you get, like, the first 2 or 3 days, you get, like, it's like somehow it gets out there where people know about it,
right?
And you get a spike, like you said, and it can be, like, 1,000 in, like, the first couple days.
Right.
And then it really slows down to maybe 30 a day or something.
Yeah.
But then I took it off of perma-free, and I put it paid again, and then, like, 2 or 3 weeks later, I went back on perma-free, and I got that spike again. So I'm almost like, is this like something I should be doing? Because it might actually be better to do it that way because I end up with more overall free sales.
Yeah.
But at the same time, then you got to trust that Amazon's going to price match it when you want. And
there's no guarantee that
there's no guarantee they'll ever, that once I take it off, they may never put it back on. You know, who knows?
Right. Right.
Because I tried to, I saw a lot of authors doing the 99 cent thing, and they were going to have the first book in the series be 99 cents mm-hmm. instead of free. So I was like, oh, I'll try that. And in June, it was just 99 cents. And I did all these promotions. I had e-reader news. I had book sends, I think, all, you know, a bunch of different big ones. Mm-hmm. And it just never caught on. I would get these days, I'd sell 40 or 50 in a day, and then the next day would be nothing again.
Yeah.
And finally, I was just like, okay, I'm going back to permafree, because it just wasn't. It never got connected. And when you have a book in permafree for so long, it doesn't get in the Ossobots really, because they don't want to put really free books in the Ossobots too much. So that was the problem too, is that you need, in order to really get those sales of a book afterwards, it has to be in the other Ossobots. And with a permafree book, it just doesn't usually get in there very easily. And if you had, and since I had already had it permafree for a year, I think that probably worked against me.
Yeah, probably.
So are you in like Google or anything, like the Google Play Store?
No.
I didn't even bother, because it looked like a hassle.
That either.
And I haven't heard anyone having success.
No, and there have been a few really sort of bootstrapped indie platforms that have cropped up over the past 6 to 9 months. And occasionally I'll get an email from someone saying, hey, we know we can't beat Amazon, but we're going to offer this and this and this. And I just like, no thanks. You know, there's just, it's just too big of a beast, and it's not worth my time to get everything, all that stuff ready on yet another platform where there's no readership.
So, I mean, you asked me the question, and I'll ask you the question. Do you think from here on out, are you looking at Select as probably where you're going?
I mean, I have everything. All my novels are back in Select. The only novels that are not in Select at this point is the Portal Arcane series, because the first book is permafree. So the same reasoning you're using is the reason why that isn't in Select.
And the box sets.
Yeah. The box sets are just to Amazon, so I don't even...
The box sets are a challenge, because, you know, you got different authors' books in there, and some of them have it in Select and some of them don't, which means that you can't put it everywhere.
Right.
And you can't put it in Select, so it kind of... it's kind of a nightmare.
Yeah, and I've tried on a few, and it's just, there's too many moving pieces, you know? So-and-so's like, yeah, mine will be up in 10 days, and then someone else is like, I just put mine in, and I'm like, forget it. Mm. Like, it's not even worth the hassle.
And I think the box set thing, it looks like it's really kind of dying now, so...
Yeah,
every month it's getting worse.
It is, yeah. And it's okay. Like, I knew it was just a short-term thing, and I knew it was going to be... I knew there was definitely going to be a spike to that in popularity, and then it was gonna do what it's doing, and that's all right. It happens.
Yeah. So I mean, overall, my thoughts are just like if I when I release that thriller that I'm redoing, it's going in Select.
Yeah.
And if it does well in those first 9 days, it's just gonna stay there. I'm not gonna bother.
Yeah.
Because for especially with standalone books, I haven't seen any movement anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like we already talked about Kobo and Nook, and I'm not even on Google, and iTunes is like, you have to have, in order to upload directly, you have to have a Mac. It's like, what are they doing? Like, this is stupid.
Right. And a license that costs $99 and a Mac. Like, really?
So, I mean, I'm on there, but it's through Drafted Digital.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm in Smashwords because I wanted to go through, it was weird. I used to have, I was going through Drafted Digital to for the first book.
Yeah.
To Nook.
Okay.
Because I need it to be free, and you can't go straight through a Nook Press to make your book free.
Right.
But I wasn't getting any sales of it. Was weird. Like, I wasn't getting the sales for the first book through Drafted Digital, but when I go back through Smashwords, for some reason it does. And I don't understand. It was annoying me because I really, really wanted to be out of Smashwords.
Yeah.
I was so happy when Drafted Digital announced that you could make your book free on Barnes & Noble now, because I immediately removed my book off of Smashwords. I unpublished it. And you know what? You talk about the meat grinder thing. Then, like a few months later, when I realized I wasn't selling anything through Drafted Digital for the free one, I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna have to." I went kicking and screaming. I went back to Smashwords, you know. And I hit republish, and now it's got to go through their 2 week long, 2 week long process of like making sure everything's okay. And they like declined it. I'm like, I made no changes to it whatsoever. This was the same exact file that they had previously published.
I've had
I just unpublished
too.
It, republished it, and they tell me there's some error.
Yeah.
And so I sent them all these nasty email. I was like, what the hell's the problem? You know, this, I didn't make any changes to this. They're like, oh, it looks like the other time where we approved it, it was wrong and it shouldn't have been approved. And you guys have no idea what you're doing over there. It's just ridiculous.
Well, I don't know. You know, the biggest indicator for me was, you know, the Black Fang betrayal came out. And that was, you know, that's the 10-author collaboration. We had a lot of sort of marketing muscle behind it. We went far and wide with that. We went to all the platforms, and it sold virtually nothing anywhere else. And so we've put that, pulled that down and have gone into Select with that title. So for me, like, hearing all those other authors go, yeah, we should just totally put that in Select, like, totally made sense. And that's sort of where I'm headed to. So the series that have to have a perma-free book in, I'm going to keep everywhere else. But all my other titles are, you know, going to be in Select.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't put that in Select right off the bat. Because really, you want to take advantage of that first 30 days.
Yeah.
And you waited much 30 days, didn't you?
Yeah, we talked about it. And part of it was we were going to try and make a push for some other lists. We were going to try and, you know, get on some other platforms and just see what we could do with it. But, it didn't move the way we wanted it to. So,
I mean, that's the thing too. I mean, you put your book on these other platforms and they're like, oh, you got to give it some time to get a readers and this and that. And I would do ads if they worked for those places, but they don't. Right. And there's even BookBub's the biggest one. And BookBub doesn't really work for them.
Yeah. If a BookBub ad isn't going to drive sales, none of the other ones are. Yeah. Nothing is. Right.
And I don't know. I was wondering when you were going to get around to mentioning the Black Fang betrayal. I mean, you pretty much plugged every single one of your other books so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, let's see. What else did you not plug? Oh, you didn't plug Man's Ruin.
Well, you're
or Let's Scare Cancer to Death.
Yeah.
All right.
I say we wrap it up here. I don't think we have any sort of upcoming things we need to mention now other than maybe a quick reminder that we are going to do the Pet Cemetery show sometime in November. We've had some people asking about that.
Oh, that's the show's book. Okay.
Yeah. We haven't set a date, but we're thinking late November. So if you're going to join us for the Pet Cemetery Book Club, let's do that. And then when you finish that, if you want to be just like us, then you should read this next. Read The River is Dark after Pet Cemetery.
I think it's going to be good.
It's going to be fun, no doubt.
What do you think for this show? I mean, we're talking about having other people read along. I mean, do you want to bring them on the show or just?
Well, we got Joe coming on for sure.
Yeah, so, we definitely got Joe. He said he would come back on.
Right.
I mean, I guess it depends, like, right?
Yeah, we'll see. You know, if you guys want to, you know, hit us up on the comments or email us or let us know. I think for me, there's a tipping point on a hangout where
too many people.
Yeah, clumsy. So let's kind of see what the interest is, and maybe we'll take it from there. But at the very least, if you want to kind of read it and, like, you know, send us some questions or comments and then watch a show, that'd be pretty cool. All right.
Oh, are you waiting for me to say something?
I think that's it. I think we're done, right?
Oh, I just wanted to have the camera, like, focus on your face for a little bit.
Yeah,
we're done.
All right.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, we got Joanna Penn coming up sometime soon.
No.
That, I'm just gonna jinx it.
We'll just mention on every show, and eventually.
Eventually, she'll show up.
Is it Joanna or JF?
It's gonna be.
We still don't know. They're both coming.
Yeah.
I've confirmed Rich Brown is actually gonna be here. So.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. His first time on the show. So.
All right. Excellent. So we'll have a full cast next episode. So.
Cool.
That's pretty much it for episode 14. Thanks for tuning in. Please leave us a review. That one review on iTunes is really embarrassing. So please validate us and at least put one more up there. or not. All right.
I don't know. I just wonder how long we can go now with just one review.
I guess we're going to find out.
All right. Let's get out of here.
All right. Later.
Later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Horror Writers Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Do it. Do it now. What are you waiting for? us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter.